Laugh Now Dilator. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, I don't know, for sticking around. It's sick. It's cool, and I'm very proud that I have 100 of these episodes out. Even though I think it's a little bit more, it's just like even if I had zero people listening, the fact that I have number 100 of these out, like, it's kind of sick. But yeah, my guest today, singer of Alpha and Omega, California Cowboys, you know what? You're like, he's the guy behind the curtain. He's not in the spotlight, but he's pulling a lot of strings for a lot of community-based functions or events, whether it's in music or whether it's just art. But before we get started, I want to do a quick Marty. We're going back to square one. I'm getting nervous. I usually don't fucking trip like this anymore. But this episode, or this essence of what it's, I put into a vessel, which is a podcast where I interview people, where I try to express myself and try to get myself out there and try to get other people that I believe, whether they're big or they're small, out there too, goes dedicated to the memory of Sponto, who really gave me confidence and really boosted, what this is. For a long time, I didn't feel like this mattered, or not that even had to matter, just I didn't feel like it was not much. But coming in the words from him while he was still here, he really gave me opportunity in his space. He just did a lot for me that in his eyes, probably in his time, in his lifespan, wasn't as much as he usually did for other people. But to me, it was like, oh, it's going to be a lifetime worth of just, that's going to gloom into different things, I hope. And this also goes to Memo, a little friendship, who the coolest kid, the coolest, even though he was like 30, but he was still a kid, the coolest guy ever, the fucking sweetest. He went out a hero, and this goes out to you, Memo. I love you. And without further ado, my guest is Luis from Alpha. How you doing, Luis?
What's up? What's up? That was beautiful.
It was
beautiful. Shout out to Memo. Shout out to Sponto.
Yeah.
Honestly, I could say a lot about the homie, but let's. I think you kind of said it well. You really said it well.
I remember when I first heard you pass. Like, everything I wanted to say, I was like, it doesn't do justice. Like, no matter, like what I'm saying, I feel like it doesn't do justice of how I really feel. You know what I mean? Like, I could, like, I feel like I need to paint. Like, you know what I mean? Like, almost a canvas of, like explaining everything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything. Like, a short amount of span that he was in my life. But yeah.
Yeah.
I have fears that I can never show. I have eyes I can never close. What does that mean? What does it mean? What it meant then? What does it mean now?
You know, going back into all these songs and listening to them and thinking about what I was going through at the time and where I was at in my life and where I'm at now and I'm going through now, like, it's interesting to go back into these songs because it almost feels like my younger self talking to my older self, my current, in the current day. You know, like, they're very personal and very powerful to myself. It almost feels like channeled writing in a sense, because you know, whatever, like, my lyrics are interpreted, however my lyrics are interpreted by whoever, you know, listens to them and feels a certain type of way, you know, for myself, like, they really hit deep still to this day, you know, for sure. Just about the realities of life, the ebb and flow of the ups and the downs and the good and the bad and just pushing through and connecting back to who you are inside to find the strength that you have to push through whatever it may be that comes, that, you know, make getting your way, or may feel like it's holding you back. I think that you know, that's really what a lot of these lyrics are about, you know, just like young me kind of just like speaking about the life I had lived, or the amount of, you know, wisdom or knowledge or life experience that I had gathered up to that point, to like, to just speak widely, you know, from my insides, you know, from what I was feeling inside of me. That's really what that is, you know.
I've been a man since you could roll words off your tongue. Don't get me wrong, I've never wished this on my own son. Yeah. Did you grow up earlier? Did you become a man earlier than usual? Or you think you had a great childhood and then just you chose life at an early age?
I had a great childhood, but I definitely chose life at an early age, in your words, you know? Like, I definitely chose to go out into the world at an early age and to be submerged and exposed to life very early on. I got into all kinds of shit at a very young age, like really young, you know. I was booking shows and like paying bands and, you know, making flyers and going to shows and doing the whole thing. Like, I mean, like by the time I was like 13, you know, like for real. So and that's just like, that barely scratched the surface as far as like what I was getting into, but I was really out there in the world, you know. I was on the bus, I was on my skateboard, I was on my bike, I was, you know, I grew up in the valley, you know, I grew up in Sun Valley, but I mean, I was all over Southern California, period, you know. Like, I couldn't sit still. I was from the east side of the West Side Valley to the east side of the West Side of Los Angeles to Orange County, to the Inland Empire, to San Diego, down to Tijuana, you know, like, fuck, man. Like, by the time I was 17, I already done, like, 2 West Coast tours, you know? So, yeah.
Why do you think, what led you to do that at an early age? Like, a kid, what makes a kid at that age, what's going on behind that kid's life or mind that's like, I gotta do this, or I have to, I can't stay still? Were your parents, was life at home hard? Was there something, what was kind of poking you inside that you're like, I gotta get out? Why weren't you comfortable just being at home?
I wouldn't say I wasn't comfortable being at home, but, you know, there's a whole ass fucking world outside that door, and I was just ready to be out up in it, you know, and just to explore life and experience life and to just, you know, do everything that I could do, you know, whether it was on a skateboard or with a band or with my friends, whatever it may be. Like, I was just down, you know, like I was just down. I was like, yeah, what's up? You know, everyone knows I'm fucking down. I don't gotta prove that to nobody, you know what I mean? I've been down since I was a little fucking kid. That's really what it breaks down to. Like, I'm just like, with it, you know, let's go, let's get into it, let's figure it out, let's experience it, let's make it happen, let's talk about doing cool shit, and then let's make cool shit happen, you know? And I've just always been like that my whole life.
You exploring life and having, I guess, pleasures, like, you know, like pleasures that people usually come to an age to get, you experience it first. Like, no, not even like bad pleasures, just like good, like experiencing going to another city, looking at other places, seeing bands at an early age, you know, that a lot of kids probably took longer to finally get out of the house. Mm-hmm. Do you think that came with a lot of repercussion, meaning a lot of pain that you were not ready for to handle? Like, it's just pain that I guess adults take more, that you were taking at a younger age?
I wouldn't say pain, but I was definitely exposed to a lot of things early on that I'm very grateful for.
You're grateful.
I wouldn't say that it was painful. It was imperative to my growth and my evolution, and for that to start a little bit earlier than most. You know, my parents were, my mother was a pastor, my parents were missionaries, along with a lot of other things. They were very involved in the local community, in nonprofits and outreach, and, you know, like on Christmas and Thanksgiving, we went and we served hot meals to people that were unhoused or less fortunate. We were at, you know, senior citizens' homes, people that didn't have families. That's how we spent holidays throughout the week. You know, my mother was just always involved in some kind of community outreach type of work. My father, he was always very knowledgeable with business and things like that. So he always helped on that end for people that needed to have a little bit more understanding or guidance through business or like financial literacy, things to that degree. You know, like they were always giving back to the community. They were like the most selfless people ever on the planet. You know, like they were just like, what can we do for everybody else? You know, and that's the home that I grew up in. And because of that, you know, like I was, you know, traveling at an early age to other countries for their missionary work and things like that. And I was exposed to third world countries at a very early age. I was exposed to what the streets were for unhoused people at a very early age. Like I saw all these things, you know, at the beginning of my puberty, very deeply and very like in my face, you know, this is what it is. This is what we do. We take care of one another. So that's what it comes from. You know, I don't see it as being painful at all. I see it as being a blessing. And I feel like that really was a springboard for me to be involved in punk, in hardcore, in, you know, my father was a member of the Young Lords. The Young Lords is like the Puerto Rican version of the Black Panthers or like the Brown Berets, you know, like he was an activist, you know, he was very, very much so like from the hood and wanted to always give back and open up doors and be a voice for people from the hood. So when I found out about punk at fucking 11, you know, like I said, by the time I was 13, I was in it. I was really with the shit, you know, like I was getting rides from different people to go to shows here or there, backyard shows, venues, church shows, all kinds of weird shows anywhere I could get to, you know, if I could get a ride from like some older dude that I met at a show or like my homie's parents that were down to give us a ride or take the train to a fucking other train to a bus to get to a venue, whatever. Like I was always down. There was these weird little like punk, not crews, but like collectives of different types of like fools that all like kind of knew each other from shows, and they would like meet up in Whittier and I would get rides to go meet up with them and just talk about like shows and booking shows and like making flyers and just like, you know, being a contributing member to my community of something that I was so drawn to, which is like punk and hardcore.
Being a young kid so knowledgeable about the good and the bad, music and culture, and just being a kid who like grew up with a lot, Where does the lyric "so young but so hard, so strong but so scared" come from? You're a kid who knows a lot from at that point in your life. At the time I'm imagining you're writing the record, you're a young kid. You know a lot about the world. You've been through a lot, but you kind of stick up your chest because not any kid is up there, like you said, with other people talking about booking shows with older people and taking you seriously and being like, this kid knows what's up. With that being said, What were you scared of? What does that lyric mean? Because you've like, even to this day, you always seem confident. You're always a very intimidating guy. Like you always like pull up and you're like, you know what I mean? Kind of like, you know, like already like ready to like.
I'm ready to get shit done.
Yeah, no, yeah, both ways.
You know, and like let's not fucking play around. Let's get shit done.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, like, but like you're also
don't
like,
play with me. Let's,
yeah,
let's
exactly.
Be real. Let's get it done. Let's
so,
do some shit.
So even back then, like you're doing cool shit now. You're doing cool shit back then. What does someone like that have to be afraid of? You know what I mean? Like it's okay to be scared, but what is moving you so hard to be like, I'm gonna write this on a piece of paper and this is gonna be on a record?
You know, I don't even think I was thinking about it as deeply as like, oh, this is gonna be on a record. I'm gonna have to fucking talk about this shit fucking 15, 20 years later. You know, like in the moment, it was just like at that point in my life, you know, I kind of gave you a little insight on like what it was for me when I first got into all this shit. But by the time I was writing that Alpha record, I graduated high school just about 2 years early. And the minute I turned 18, I went on tour with that band Terror. And Terror just took me all over the world, everywhere, for years, from the time I was 18 to like 21. And I had experienced just a tremendous, I had acquired just a tremendous amount of life experience at that point. And you know, my whole life I've always been told by so many people that, like, you know, you're really mature for your age, or like, you're an old soul, or, you know, like that kind of shit. And it took a long time for me to understand what that meant. And I think a lot of these lyrics are me navigating my youth from a place of, from within, of like just being introspective and acquiring all these different life experiences and utilizing using these life experiences as knowledge for my soul, for my life, for my choices, learning to trust my gut, you know, even if it was scary, making choices to pack up and travel and just say fuck it and say whatever is to happen is going to happen. I'm going to do this, as scary as it may be, in just like the choices in life that you have to make, you know, as you grow up and evolve from a child to, you know, a young man or woman or whatever, however you may identify, and then from that point to like an older adult and just like developing wisdom. I mean, it's scary. Life is real. The world is a scary place. You don't have to be scared of it, but you should be aware, and you should always keep your head on a swivel and be ready for anything and open to anything.
Although your life took a pause a couple years ago, do you think, are you proud, like, do you think your younger self would have been proud of where you are right now?
I don't know, proud, but like, I think like my younger self would think I'm pretty cool for like what I've accomplished so far. I feel like I've got a lot more to do in this life, but I've done some pretty cool shit. So I think my younger self would be fucking with me for sure. And as a kid, like, I always hung out with older people. I always had older friends. I maintained like a close group of friends that were my age always, but like the majority of my friends were always older than me. I don't know. I kick it with fools like you. Yeah. You know, and then I kick it with people that are in their late 20s, early 30s, and I've got some amazing people in my life that are in their 40s to 50s to 60s to 70s. Yeah. I think I'm doing all right.
What is something left? Like you said, you have a lot left in this world. What is something if, I don't know, for whatever reason, someone tells you, like, you have this amount of time to live, what is one thing you really want to do that you have to make sure it's done?
Ooh.
It could be anything.
I don't know if there's anything that I have to make sure needs to be done before I leave this earth, but, like, just...
There's not one thing?
Overall, just being a light for other people and leaving an impact on this earth for others to be able to see more clearly, or to have life breathed into their life so that they can grow and evolve and become great themselves in whatever it is that they're meant to do in their own lives. Just to help others. I think, like, that's all that really matters. You know, as I grow, I want the people around me to grow. And I don't feel like I'm done growing, so I hope everybody around me is ready to keep fucking going. Because I just want to keep fucking going, man. You know?
Yeah. You mentioned that people told you were an old soul. And now you're an older soul. You're not an old soul. But you are now at the age where you're an older human being. I say that because I think you mentioned a story one time where you were in the car with Walter and an older homie of yours, and he brings up that the world's changing, like, you know, people, like, you know, the world's getting too modernized. You see the world now from someone who was told is an old soul already, but now you're actually older and know more. Do you think the way the world is going, the direction the world is going, is it better or is it worse?
It's hard to say. I don't know. That's kind of a hard one to answer, man. I mean, like, is it better or is worse? I don't know. Like, the story you're referring to, I remember it was like, it was Alpha was on tour with Sick of It All and Trash Talk, and we brought our homie Sammy with us, and me and Walter were driving, and Sammy was sitting on the front bench, and we were just talking about the career criminals and like and what that is now, and how the career criminal, at least for the perspective that we were looking at it then, you know, was somewhat of a dying breed, which, you know, I don't know if that's really true, but just what we're, the conversation and the context, you know, we're talking about how there's video cameras everywhere. You know, like all of a sudden people were just starting to have cameras on their cell phones, and people were just starting to be able to like capture moments in real time on their phones, you know, not like on a film camera or having like a digital camera, like as a separate tool. It was all in this thing that was just like evolving by the month within our hands, you know, and it was getting harder to get away with shit, man. So from then to fucking 2023 and the AI that we're experiencing daily and you know, the smartphones that we now have that are answering questions for us and putting together photo albums for us without us asking them to do it for us, and so many other things, and suggesting what music that we would like, you know, and it's just fucking weird. But the world is still a very beautiful place. It's all how you choose to connect to it through all the different ways that you can connect to it through yourself, and all the different ways that you can experience life through, you know, your touch and your taste and your smell and hearing and seeing and all the different ways that this life can be so beautiful. I can't really say if it's good or bad, but I think there's a balance that can be found between all the chaos that's going on in our world.
The reason I ask that is because you come from my opinion, the golden era of like hardcore, where like everybody you're around your age, maybe a little bit older, a little bit younger, have, you know, basically built like what we know as Los Angeles hardcore. And do you think your kind, or I guess your breed, is just like the way the world's changing and the way kids are growing up differently, do you think that breed is still going to be around? Like the way that, you know, like think of all your friends, think of all the people that, like the type of person that it took to bring up a scene, to make it like a legit, to like do cool things, to not just be a thing where it's like, oh, we throw shows here and there, but it's like fucking LA hardcore, you know what I mean? Like, do you think that breed is going to continue?
Every generation is so different, and there's so many different walks of life along the spectrum of various types of subsects within hardcore and punk. There's always someone out there that's really like carrying on that spirit of DIY, you know, like to truly like just fucking do it yourself. Like, who gives a fuck? From like old heads to like young fools, like, just there's so many people out making the wheel turn constantly. And I think that, like, I've had this conversation with a lot of my older friends, as like when I started going to shows, I started going to shows at like a really young age, and like I refer to those times as like the dark ages. Just, it was just different, you know.
It was grimy?
It was just different. It was a different time. It was a different frequency. It was a different type of vibrational energy in the world, you know. People moved and operated differently. It was a lot grittier, for sure, by far. We saw a lot. We saw a lot of shit. And it's cool that like there's a whole generation of kids going to shows now that don't know what that's like. You know, I think that's cool that they don't have those types of memories correlated to such a beautiful, sick community. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this community was very much so birthed from the streets, you know, and from a harder time.
From pain?
Very much so. I think that that is a beautiful thing that should never be lost. It's a spirit that that really separates us from a lot of other subsects within various subcultures that connect back to punk and hardcore. But like you said, like, dude, LA hardcore is fucking lit. It's always been lit, but like, I feel like after like those dark ages, there was like a very conscious effort amongst me and a close group of my friends, like the fools that like I really grew up with, like fucking with, like we all wanted to like create a tighter scene, a more unified scene. We didn't want people to be in fear at shows. We wanted people to feel welcomed at shows, to feel a tight knit amongst one another, to be at shows and go to shows and play in bands and put out zines and like create cool things and moments and just to like bring a different type of vibrational energy to these rooms, you know, or to like shed a light on the beauty that was within the darker side of things. Within light there is darkness, within darkness there is light, you know. It's just finding a balance and focusing on the positive, and through that watering your community. So I think at this point where we're at now, like it's sick as fuck, man. Like Sound of Fury just had 7,000 people in a park for hardcore, you know, like 2 days in a row. So who knows what the actual head count was, but that's a lot of fucking people, and that's huge. And that's the summertime in LA. And then in the wintertime, you got the Toy Drive. And the Toy Drive is never not sold out in the last 14 years that it's been in existence.
Yeah.
That's saying something, you know? And then shows consistently are just always packed. There's like rare to be at a show that's like poorly attended. And I think that's fucking cool. Because people know that there's a place that they can go. People feel drawn to these rooms. And these rooms have grown. And these communities have blossomed into like such a thick, deep rooted family tree, and I think that's really fucking cool.
I mean, yeah, that was very well said. You said earlier you kick with a lot of people. You've always been part of a lot of quote unquote subcultures. Are you know a lot of people? You're tight with a lot of people, and I know you have. I know you are now because I know you now, but I know from your past or from you've always been someone who is a good friend. But that being said, I am nothing. I am alone. I am broken inside. Although like you said, you try to be a light for other people, you try to be a friend, try to lift up other people and they lift you. Do you still feel alone most of the time?
I'm very much so an extroverted introvert. In order for me to show up for my community, for others, to be the person that I hold myself up to be, the caliber, the standard that I have for myself, I think my alone time is very imperative to my self-preservation and enables me to recharge and be out in the streets, like I have always been, you know, like fucking with everybody, helping out all the homies, whoever they may be, wherever they are from or into or whatever, you know, whoever you are. Like my own personal relationship with myself has been a journey of building a relationship between my conscious self and my subconscious. And that bridge between those two has been a long process in building the foundation to have a strong relationship between the two. And a lot of that has been done in silence, in meditation, in my own home, in my own head, in my own body, with myself, as well as with others and out in the various communities that I am part of. I think it's really important to have a good relationship with yourself when you're all alone and there's nobody else there and it's just you with yourself. and you're really looking within to find out who you truly are, to like really look in the mirror and keep it 100 and be so real with yourself to work through all the things that you may uncover in those times with yourself, to be the strongest, best version of yourself. I'm not fucking perfect, you know, like I've dealt with depression, I've dealt with lots of lows. Like I said, I've been a lot of places, you know what I mean? And they're not always pretty, and they're not always cool, they're not always sick, you know? They're real. And in that time that I have spent in those places, I feel like I have developed a very strong relationship with myself and who I am. Again, like you're quoting these lyrics that I wrote so fucking long ago, and they still deeply resonate with me when I hear them being recited back to me, or I'm at band practice and I'm singing these lyrics, you know? Like I'm in a room with my four best friends practicing these songs, but I'm really with myself alone in that moment and connecting to a vibrational frequency within myself of like where I have been and where I'm going and who I am. And I think the overall message within Alpha, you know, is to stay focused and to keep pushing and to not allow anything to get in your way from being the best version of yourself in all the different ways that you need to work on yourself to be that best version, internally and externally.
Yeah, that was good.
Just fucking, I don't know, man. I'm just answering your questions, bro.
I'm just answering the questions. From what I'm gathering, you've always been a smart person. You can never say, oh, I was dumb back then. Or maybe, I mean, to some extent you can't, but you've always been conscious enough to do a lot of things since a young age. With that being said, you have, like you said, you haven't, not every place you've been has been pretty. One of those places, you know, was not the prettiest of them all. What do you think, despite being a young, smart kid who's conscious enough, smart enough to get by life, to be booking shows at a very young age, to continue, you know, Terry took you out. What do you think has been the biggest weakness that you could acknowledge that has led you to, although being a smart kid, being a kid who, like a lot of people, can see that they have trust in you, you still end up in these not so pretty places. But that comes a weakness. What is that weakness?
I'm human just like you. I'm human just like anybody else. We all make mistakes. That's part of living life. That's part of experiencing falling down and getting back up. And I don't feel the need to hide that from anybody. And I keep it fucking real. I keep it 100 always. And if I fall, if I trip up, if I fuck up, if I find myself in a fucking weird spot, I'm learning from that. Immediately, I have refined my process internally of how to get the most out of every moment in life as I do my best to live in the moment and to be present and aware of myself first and foremost and the world around me and my surroundings. You know, I'm not perfect. I never claim to be perfect. And I think that those moments when you fuck up and when you find yourself in a darker place are the best places to grow from and to evolve and to blossom into a better spot, to find yourself, you know, not repeating mistakes. Oh, I fucked up. How do I learn from that? How do I not do that again? How do I share that knowledge and wisdom with others so that they don't make those mistakes?
That's a good way to... I think we're going to wrap it up here. I know you got a bunch of shit to do, and you got to go to sleep. But yeah, I think... Yeah, what is... I mean, you're a rocker, you're an artist, you're a man of the people, you're a friend. What do you think is next for you? And not even a bad one, just like, I know this whole podcast, this whole interview has been a little bit like more truthful, but not in a positive light. But what do you think is next? What can the people expect from you? What's gonna happen? What's going on?
I'm gonna keep on rocking. I'm gonna keep on making art. I'm gonna keep on fucking doing what I've always done and just trying to be better at it and to be more impactful with it and to experience more and to open more doors for others and myself as I continue to just be me and just follow my gut and just try and, you know, keep doing cool shit with my homies. That's what it's all about. You know, like just doing cool shit with all my friends and just like making a beautiful life out of that with all the people that I love.
Sick. Hope we do it. Let's go. All right.
Let's fucking go.
Thank you everybody for listening. Later.